If a Jew purchases a utensil from a Nachri, before this utensil may be used with food, it must be tivled, immersed in a mikvah. The Torah gives us a mitzvah to immerse utensils bought from a Nachri in a kosher mikvah prior to using them with food. Let us explore what exactly constitutes a mikvah, and if there are any other places that are also valid for this immersion. A mikvah is a non-flowing pool of water that collected naturally from either rainwater or melting snow. This means that a person can't form a mikvah by pouring in any water. It must enter on its own naturally. After a mikvah has collected 40 saw of properly attained water, which according to the Chazon Ish is approximately 750 liters, one may then pour in by hand as much regular water as one wishes. However, if the level drops below this point, one will have to wait until the next rainstorm, until the mikvah will again be kosher. I once heard a story about a caterer who sent one of his workers to tivel 1,000 drinking glasses. The worker knew that one cannot use water poured from a glass to make a mikvah. So after dunking each glass, he carefully removed all the water and poured it out on the ground. The worker did not notice that after having repeated this a few hundred times, he had actually drained the mikvah to the point where it was no longer kosher. All the immersions he did after that point were ineffective. By the time his error was recognized, the glasses were all mixed together such that he could no longer tell which glasses were tivled correctly and which were not. Not only did all the glasses have to be tivled again, but the mikvah was not kosher and remained that way until the next rainstorm. Suffice it to say that his boss was not very happy with him. What this worker did not realize was that although you cannot make a mikvah by pouring in glasses of water, but once you have a kosher mikvah, you can pour in as many glasses of water as you like. The fact that the water keeps cycling out of the mikvah in the glass and then being poured back in does not affect the mikvah so long as it retains at all times the minimum requirement of water for a mikvah. Now, if the pool has even the smallest cracks and water can leak out of it, then this might invalidate the entire mikvah. Additionally, the water must be considered in the ground and not contained in a vessel. There are many conditions that must be satisfied for this pool to be considered a proper kosher mikvah, and many of the requirements are impossible to judge by merely inspecting it. Therefore, one should ascertain that the mikvah was built and continues to be maintained by people knowledgeable in the intricate laws of mikvahs. Now, of course, the best place to immerse these utensils in what we call a kela mikvah. This is a mikvah that was specifically built for the purpose of immersing utensils. They are usually equipped with baskets to facilitate an easy, quick, and proper immersion. Of course, a regular mikvah can also be used. In communities that have a men's mikvah, it should be verified that the mikvah is kosher for tefillah of utensils as well, as there could be leniencies that are allowed in men's mikvahs that may make it unacceptable for tefillas kelim. In communities that don't have mikvahs, one could also immerse one's utensils in an ocean, a sea, or a non-flowing lake. However, one must be careful to make sure that the entire utensil is submerged below the surface of the water. Rivers and brooks are the most complicated issue. As we have noted earlier, to qualify as a mikvah, the pool of water must not be flowing. Rivers and brooks, by definition, are flowing bodies of water and cannot be considered mikvahs. The word mikvah means contained and not flowing. However, there is a second acceptable place where one can immerse utensils, and that is in a spring. A natural spring, although it flows, is acceptable for immersing kelim. If the river or brook emanated from a natural spring, then they might still be kosher. There are many very technical issues that must be addressed in determining if a river or brook is kosher for tefillas kelim, and suffice it to say that an expert in the laws of mikvahs must be consulted before one should decide to use any river or brook. There's one other medium that might be acceptable for immersing utensils, and that is snow. A mikvah filled with snow fits the basic description of a kosher mikvah. Snow stays place and does not flow. But is it water? There's actually an early rabbinic disagreement as how we should view snow. Should it be viewed as water, and therefore kosher for a mikveh, or not? In truth, though most agree that snow has the status of water, and therefore a mikveh filled with snow is technically kosher for immersing utensils, in truth, it is almost never feasible. The rule is that for an immersion to be acceptable, it must have water touch all parts of it simultaneously. If even one spot does not come in contact with the water, the immersion is completely invalid. Usually, when one immerses in water, this is not difficult to guarantee. Though, occasionally, if the utensil has a narrow opening, one might have to wait until all of the air bubbles rise. However, when it comes to immersing in snow, it is almost impossible to ensure that the snow is packed around the utensil tightly enough to guarantee that all parts of it are in direct, simultaneous contact. The Chachmas Adam gives the following guidelines for immersing utensils in snow. If the requirement for immersion for this utensil is of biblical force, then one may never accept such an immersion. If the obligation to immerse the utensil is rabbinic in nature, and the item is a flat utensil such that it is possible to ensure that the snow is packed tightly around it, then in situations of extreme need, this immersion is acceptable. The obligation to immerse glass is always only rabbinic. If the utensil contains metal, then the obligation might be biblical. The exact ruling for each specific utensil is beyond the scope of this discussion. As you can see, this option is far from optimal. To review, the best place for tevila is in a mikveh. If this is not possible, then one can utilize an ocean or a lake. If these are not available, then one should consult with a rabbi before immersing the utensils in a river or brook, and most certainly before immersing it in snow. Now, before one can immerse a utensil in a mikveh, it must be completely clean. Water must come in contact with the entire surface of the utensil. If there are adhesions that block this contact, then they may invalidate the immersion. It is therefore necessary to remove any extraneous substances. The general rule is as follows. If there is even the tiniest spot of dirt on the surface of the utensil, then the immersion is invalid if it is something that either you would wish to have removed, or even if you don't care, but most people would wish to have removed. Therefore, stickers that one would want left on the utensil, either because they display instructions, or it might be a warning label, or they perhaps decorate the utensil in some way, these stickers need not be removed, since neither he nor most people will wish to have such items removed. When removing labels and stickers, care should be given to make sure that the glue under the sticker is removed as well. It is often hard to get off, and it might take some detergent and water to get it completely clean. If it is difficult to clean, and one removes the glue to the point where one no longer cares about the residual stickiness and believes that most people would feel likewise, then that cleaning was adequate, and one can immerse it as is. Now, if the utensil had previously been used with non-kosher foods, then one is required to purge the non-kosher from the utensil before it is immersed in the mikveh. The exact method for removing the absorption of the non-kosher particles from the utensil and thereby making it suitable to be used in a kosher kitchen is beyond the scope of this discussion, and it is always recommended that a rabbi be consulted in such matters. If one buys a utensil whose ownership has never been compromised from the time it was crafted until the time of the purchase, then such a utensil does not require immersion in a mikveh. If at any time it was in a compromised status, then this utensil will require immersion after being purchased. Therefore, it is not sufficient to simply buy your utensils from a Hamish store. In general, unless one buys his utensils from the original artisan who personally handcrafted the utensils, we should assume that the utensils must be immersed. If one is genuinely in doubt, then a blessing should not be recited at the tevilah. There is a discussion as to whether a Jewish store owner can immerse his wares in a mikveh before he sells them. Aside from making it easier for his customers and perhaps drawing in more business, there is a halachic consideration for him to do this as well. Perhaps he need be concerned that not every Jewish customer of his might be careful to perform the mitzvah of tevilas kelim, immersing utensils. Since one is prohibited from using his utensils before they are immersed, it can be argued that to some degree the store owner is an accomplice to this violation. However, many argue that such an immersion is ineffective. Even if the store owner wanted to immerse the utensils before selling them, it would not help. Since the store owner has no intention of using the utensils with food, he is not obligated to immerse them. An immersion in a circumstance where there is no mitzvah to immerse is completely ineffective. There is also a practical consideration for why a store owner would not wish to pre-immerse his wares. As we have previously noted, all the labels would need to be removed, and this will make the utensils look used and unattractive to customers. Although one can argue that the store owner wants that the labels should remain on, and therefore this situation is more comparable to the decorative stickers that we mentioned earlier that we said need not be removed, still, since most people will be bothered, and the store owner himself would be bothered if he were to use it, the stickers or labels would need to be removed. The truth is that it is permissible for the store owner to sell non-immersed utensils, and he is not considered an accomplice in any subsequent violation. However, it would be proper for him to post a sign that informs his Jewish customers that the utensils that are bought in his store require immersion, as many Jews are unfamiliar with these laws. What if someone wants to give a gift of a set of, let's say, drinking glasses to a Jewish friend who he knows is not careful to immerse his utensils? Is there a way that he can pre-immerse these utensils and thereby give his friend a set of glasses that are ready to be used without further requirements? But we have seen that it is pointless for him to pre-immerse the glasses. So what is the solution? One solution would be to have in mind to take a sip of water from the glasses. Since the present owner plans on using these glasses, then he becomes obligated to immerse them. Even a simple usage, such as sipping water from a glass, requires immersion. Since he will drink water from this glass, he becomes fully obligated. Once he immerses the glass, the obligation is removed and will not return even after he gifts it away, so long as the parameters of ownership required by halacha are maintained. Of course, care must be taken to remove the labels and immerse the glasses properly. Another possibility is to have someone make an acquisition on the glasses on behalf of the beneficiary of the gift. This person should lift up the glasses with the intention of acquiring them on behalf of the intended recipient of the gift. This acquisition is binding, and the gift giver can no longer change his mind about giving away these glasses, as they no longer belong to him. They now belong to the recipient. Since the recipient will use these glasses and is obligated to immerse them, these glasses will have on them the mitzvah of immersion. At this point, anyone can immerse them for him, even if they were not specifically authorized to do so. Still, their immersion is 100% valid. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, however, raised a concern about the second method. He was concerned that what if the recipient was planning on returning or giving away or just simply planned on never using these glasses, then the immersion would still be ineffective. Later, if he changes his mind and decides that he really wants to keep and use these utensils, the immersion would need to be repeated. Since this person is lax in his observance of this mitzvah, the issue has not been sufficiently addressed. In truth, if the labels have been removed, it is unlikely that the recipient will be able to return the gift. And if we know that this person was in need of this gift, or would certainly keep and use it anyway, then this would be a valid approach. In summation, we have seen that a utensil is only obligated in tevila if it is owned by someone who intends on using it with food. As we have seen, that one can immerse a utensil that he intends on giving to his friend in one of two ways. He can either obligate himself in the mitzvah, or he can change the ownership of the item and then immerse the utensil. Thank you for listening to this edition of Kosher Tidbits.